Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 2. We are 1/31st of the way through this study in Proverbs. So I got done the first chapter. We only have 30 to go. That means only 900 and some verses to go, so shouldn't take too long. Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to do verses 1 and 2 tonight. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." So in Proverbs 2, we begin with a formula that God gives us here to get wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of God. And that's found in the first 6 verses. So I'm just going to go ahead and read the first 6 for now, and then we'll get through the first 2 tonight. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So what I want to do is, first of all, I want to look at the first 3 words there in the first verse. "My son, if." So these words tell us that whatever comes next is conditional, that God is giving something here that you have to meet conditions in order to get. And anybody that's ever done computer programming, and I'm not sure if any of you have, but I've done that in my previous life, anybody that is familiar with that knows about the if-then statement. And it's a classic computer programming thing that if a certain thing is true, then something happens. And in this case, Solomon would have made a great programmer because he uses a complex tri-conditional statement. He uses 3 if statements, and if all 3 are true, then the result comes. He says in verse 1, "If thou wilt receive my words." In verse 3, "If thou criest after knowledge." Verse 4, "If thou seekest her as silver." And then in verse 5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So these statements tell us then that the understanding, knowledge, and wisdom of God are conditioned. That God just doesn't give them out willy-nilly. He doesn't give them out to people that don't want them or that don't exert effort for them, but to people that meet the conditions set forth here to get them. And it is available, but you got to meet the criteria. So if the condition's met, then the promised wisdom is given. If not, it's withheld. So given this, then none of us have any excuse for not getting the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of God, because God tells us exactly what to do. You have these steps here. You got 3 ifs, and then those 3 ifs, there's a couple of them have different parts to them that we're going to go through. And if you meet all those conditions, then you get the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God. So let's look at the first part there. "If thou wilt receive my words." So this is the first condition to obtain the knowledge of God, and that is to receive God's words. Let's define the term first of all. Receive means to take in one's hand or into one's possession something held out or offered by another, to take delivery of a thing from another, either for oneself or for a third party. So if somebody hands you something and you accept it, you take it, you have received it. That's what the definition tells us. So these words here in Proverbs 2, in the Proverbs, are primarily, when Solomon first penned them, he had one particular person in mind, and that was his son. That's what he says there, "my son." And whether that was Rehoboam or one of his other sons, we don't know for sure. But given the fact that Solomon was a prophet and that the things that he wrote were inspired of God, then we can also understand this as God speaking to his sons. And if you look in 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, we'll see here that the words that Solomon wrote down here were not just from his own mind, but they were from the mind of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. He says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And he's referring here to the prophecy as the scripture in the Old Testament. In verse 20, "knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." So the scriptures, and Jesus referred to the 3 divisions there, the whole Old Testament, the law and the prophets and the Psalms, as the scriptures. So these words that we're reading here were inspired by God himself, So we can apply that to ourselves, that God is saying to us, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. So this shows us that God offers his wisdom and his knowledge to all of his children, and this is implied by the fact that he says if, and then people are entreated to receive the words. So the gift of eternal life, for instance, is received, but that's a passive reception, right? When somebody's dead and God makes them alive, you don't have to reach out and grab that. As we've been talking about in the sermons the last few weeks, that's not something that you take actively. But in this case, when there's a conditional if statement attached to it, and then God invites you to receive it, this is something you do reach out your hands for, and you do receive it actively. And we all, if we want to know the Lord, we all have to do that. But the wicked, on the other hand, we're told that they don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. If you look in 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 14, they don't receive the written Word of God because they haven't received the Spirit of God in regeneration. They haven't received the ability to understand it, so they won't reach out their hand to take it. They can't. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, but the natural man, look at the word here, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So when we take this verse, 1 Corinthians 2:14, and we plug it into Proverbs 2, we see here whom God is speaking to. He's speaking to his children, right? My son. He's not speaking to the world at large, because the world, it'd be ridiculous for God to say, O ye children of the devil, receive my words. If you'll do this and this, you'll receive my words, when the Bible tells us that they can't receive it, right? They don't have the ability or the capacity to do so. So the first step in finding the knowledge of God is receiving his word. But in order for that word to be of any value, the word of God must not simply be accepted into one's hand, right? As if it's the word of men, or just hear it and say, oh, that sounds interesting, or whatever. Just like you would any other piece of information, if somebody was telling you about how the weather cycle works, or how nuclear energy is produced or something, you're like, oh, that's interesting. You know, you've received that knowledge. But there's a difference between receiving that knowledge as the word of men and receiving God's knowledge, God's wisdom. Because God's wisdom has to be received as it is in truth the word of God. If you look in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, it has to be received with a certain attitude. And this is why a lot of people don't receive it. Of course, the reprobate, they don't receive it, period. They can't. For this reason, they don't have the right attitude. But even God's children, if they don't have the right attitude, they won't receive it either. And I'll bet you every one of us has witnessed to somebody in our lives somewhere, family or friends or whatever, and we see some fruit and evidence in their life, and we think, you know what, that person looks like a child of God in many ways, but yet for some reason they don't receive all of God's truth anyway, because they don't have a willing heart to receive it. There's something in there that they don't want to give up. There's something that would require something of them in order to fully receive that they don't want to take. And so they say, hither shalt thou come and no further. They're not going to go that full step. But that's not what the Thessalonians did. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Paul says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Probably the reason why a lot of people don't receive the message of the gospel as the word of God is because they've been tricked into believing that we don't really even have a word of God anymore. We don't have something that's perfectly inspired, that we can trust 100% every little word, every jot, every tittle, every comma and punctuation mark. They don't believe that. So especially if something in that rubs them the wrong way, then there's always an out. Well, you know, maybe it wasn't. Maybe this wasn't perfectly translated. You know, maybe this isn't actually what God said. Maybe this is some man's opinion about what God said. So there's always some kind of an out that somebody can have if they don't receive it as the word of God. And the other thing is in Acts 17 and verse 11, you have to receive it with a readiness of mind. This one just came to me this afternoon when I was looking over this. It's not in your outline. In Acts 17 and verse 11. Now here's something interesting. We just read a verse to the Thessalonians, right? And they received the word of as it was the word of God, right? Not as the word of men. But look at this. So the Thessalonians did well, but the Bereans did better. Acts 17 and verse 11. These, speaking of those in Berea, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures whether those things were so. So you could say the people in Thessalonica received it with a childlike faith. They received it as it was the word of God and they believed it. But the people in Berea didn't just do that. They had readiness of mind. They wanted to understand it. They were anxious to learn it. And then when it came to them, they didn't just accept it without checking it out. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And I don't know if those people had copies of the scriptures themselves. Probably not. I mean, these are Gentiles in Berea, so chances are, I mean, I think that he probably went to the Jews first. And I'm not sure if these Bereans he's referring to are Gentiles or Jews. But either way, I would imagine that the average person, Jew or Gentile, in those days probably didn't have their own scrolls of the scriptures at home. You know, there was probably one at the synagogue. Jesus went to the synagogue, right? And he opened up they gave him the scroll, delivered him the scroll. He didn't have one that he was carrying around by himself. And he opened it up. So I wouldn't be surprised. I might be speculating just a little bit. But I wouldn't be surprised if they had to go and they had to make some effort. And they had to go to the synagogue or they had to go somewhere to get the scriptures. Because this is the Old Testament scriptures that is being referred to here. The New Testament scriptures hadn't been written down yet. So they went and they made some effort. And they went and they checked out what Paul said. And when Paul went back to Isaiah and he said, this is the prophecy of Jesus Christ, they said, well, that sounds good, but let me check it out. And they went back to Isaiah. They opened that thing up and they read it. And they're like, yeah, that makes sense. Right? So these people were noble. They were going to search the scriptures daily. And I've always encouraged all of you to do the same thing. When I teach something, don't just believe it because I said it. Search the scriptures. I always give you a verse for whatever I'm trying to prove. And if I don't give you a verse for it, then you don't have to believe it. Right? But if I give you a verse, then search it. Go home. Check it out. Make sure I didn't define the word wrong, or make sure I didn't fail to compare scripture with scripture to make sure you understand it right. So that's what you have to do to receive the word. Receive it with readiness of mind as it is the word of God and not the word of men. And then the second part of Proverbs 2 and verse 1. And hide my commandments with thee. So you got to first receive my words, God says, and then hide them with thee. So we can't stop by just receiving it. The first time you hear it and you think, oh, that sounds good. I believe that. And I'm going to obey it. And I'm baptized. Now I'm a Christian. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there. Because you know what? If you don't hear something repeatedly and you don't make an effort to memorize it, you're not going to remember what you first learned very long, right? It's going to go away from you. You're going to lose it. That's one reason why we meet for church every week, right? We continually meet to continually learn. And we have Bible studies every other week or every week or whenever. And I have always encouraged everybody to read their Bibles every day. That's what we have to do if we're going to receive God's word and keep it. So when we hide it in our hearts, what does this mean practically? Anybody can speak up. What does this mean practically?
I read it.
You read it. Okay, so you cheated. Any other non-cheaters have any idea? What does it mean to receive the word in a practical sense, or not receive, to hide it in your hearts? What does that mean practically?
Memorize
it, right? If you hide it in your heart, you're keeping it there, right? You cheated too. You must see you two sitting next to each other and you're rubbing off on each other and you're trying to corrupt her.
I read over her shoulder.
Oh, so you were cheating off of her notes instead of your own. Okay.
All right. Really?
Yeah, that's right. So this means memorizing Bible verses. Now there's, well, at least two ways that I've found that you can memorize Bible verses. The first way is an intentional way, and that's by just picking a verse and memorizing it. And how I recommend you do this, and I've done this in the past, and you're going to have to, if you're going to keep, when you memorize, especially in this way, you're going to have to keep going over it from time to time or you'll lose it. At one time, believe it or not, I had the entire book of Ephesians memorized. But now, I probably only have the parts of the book memorized that I had memorized before I sat down to intentionally memorize it. Because it's just, unless you're just a universal genius and you have a memory like a steel trap, you'll forget. And you won't think you will, but you'll forget. And then you'll go like, oh, I haven't done that for 6 months and I can't remember it anymore. So I'll just give you an example of how you would do that. Like the last verse we looked at, let's just turn there. I'm not going to go through the whole thing with you, but I'll just give you an example. Acts chapter 17, I could pick any verse in the Bible, it doesn't matter, but I just picked the one that we just looked at. Acts 17:11. So say you want to sit down, you want to memorize this verse. So the way I recommend you do it is, first of all, break it up into little chunks. Don't try to memorize the whole thing, because that's going to be difficult. So break it up into little chunks, maybe 4 or 5 words at a time, or a phrase, if you can find a comma, a good breaking point or something. And what you do is, there's no magic bullet, there's no trick to it. It's just requires effort, and just repeat it. So I recommend reading it, looking at it with your eyes, reading it out loud. So you're looking at it, you're speaking it, and you're hearing it, because you're hearing yourself say it. So you have three of your senses at work at it. So you just say, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Okay, that's kind of maybe a mouthful. So just do, these were more noble, these were more noble, these were more noble, these were more noble, these were more noble. And literally just say that and read it 20 times at least. Just say that same thing and then say, okay, then those in Thessalonica, then those in Thessalonica, then those in Thessalonica, and just repeat it 20 more times. Then these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, right? And then you move on to the next phrase, and I'm not going to bore you with the whole process, but that's how you do it. And then once you've done that, then you want to check yourself. So once you do it where you're reading it off the page, then don't look at the page and see if you can recite it to yourself. And then what really helps is get yourself some kind of a recording device and then record yourself quoting the whole verse and then listen to yourself and see if you got it right. And I found that that works pretty well. And if you try something modest like one verse per day, that's doable. Once the thing is, once you get several verses memorized, then you got to go back and you got to start going through the previous verses, or you'll end up forgetting them, unless, you know, you're a genius or something, which I'm not. So that's the intentional way of doing it, and that works, and that's a good way to do it, and I think everybody should try that. And when you break it into little chunks like that, if you say, I can't memorize, there's no way, I just can't do it. These. Can you remember the word these? If you said these 50 times today and tomorrow, could you remember these? You probably could remember these, right? You can memorize something then, right? These were, right? You spent a whole week, these were, right? You could do it, right? Anybody could do it if you put the effort into it. Some people it'll be more easier than it is for others. Now, the other way of memorizing, I've found, is intentional. This would be the unintentional way. And this is just by reading the Bible and hearing it read over and over and over and over again. So this is why it's important to read the Bible every day. As you do this, it's like I have most of the Proverbs memorized, and very few of them have I actually sat down and memorized. It's just because I've been reading a proverb a day, every day, for the last 14 years or something. And most of them, if you give me the first half, I can quote you the second half. And it's just because I've just been, nothing special about it, just reading it. The other thing is listening to sermons. So if you listen, if you read and listen to sermons a lot, it'll just be ingrained in your mind, and you'll just remember it. But it's going to take effort. It's going to take years probably. But the vast majority of the verses in the Bible that I memorized are because of that. I didn't try to memorize them. It's just because I've read them and heard them so many times. I used to listen to hundreds of sermons. I had a 50-minute drive each way to work, and I'd listen to sermons there and back, and just tons of them. And so anyway, that's the other way. But neither of these ways are like clicking the download button and it just goes into your head. And that's not going to happen. It'd be wonderful if it did, but that's not the way it happens. Now, why is it important to hide the word in your heart? Because if it's not hidden in the heart, then Satan will come and snatch it away. And I got a verse for you. Look at Mark 4 and verse 15. Mark 4 and verse 15. This is why I said, if maybe you heard the gospel for the first time and it all made sense and it clicked at that time. But if you never read a Bible for the next year and you never heard another sermon, you're going to forget most of what you heard because Satan snatched it out of your heart. Mark 4 and verse 15. This is why from time to time I repeat myself in sermons. And sometimes I feel bad about repeating myself. I'm like, oh, I've said this before. But then I realize that chances are, you, and I don't mean this to be mean, but you probably didn't remember, right? I mean, just you get so much information. You sit there and you listen to an hour, hour and 15 minutes every week. You couldn't possibly remember all that stuff. You'd have to have hundreds and hundreds of hours of sermons, you know, just downloaded into your brain to remember all that. So I guess I don't feel bad when I repeat myself because we easily forget. Peter said, you know, that I will therefore put you in remembrance of these things, though you once knew them. So that's part of my job, is to remind you of things. Mark 4 and verse 15. This is the parable of the sower. Jesus taught whenever the word was sown on the stony ground, then he goes and he gives an explanation of what happened here. When the birds of the air came and took up the seed, he says in verse 15, and these are they by the wayside when the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So Satan's like that bird that comes and picks up the seed and carries it away. So they heard, but then immediately it was just taken away. So we don't want to be like that. We want to hear and then have it take root within us. Like it says of the fourth person, they were the good ground. They had root within themselves, a good and honest heart, and that seed took root and it sprouted out and it grew and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. That's the goal. Now, the Bible could be confiscated by wicked men. It's been done over the years. There's been many, many Bibles burned. During the Dark Ages and the Inquisition, the Catholic Church sent people out and they rounded up Bibles and burned the Bibles and burned the owners. A lot of times they'd burn the Bible hanging around the neck of the owner. They'd burn them at the stake. And that word could be taken away, right? The physical word written down on the page could be taken away. But if it's hidden in your heart, it can never be taken away from you. Because they can't take that away. It doesn't matter what they do. If they throw you in prison and you have Bible verses memorized, they can never take that away. Unless they, you know, did a lobotomy on you or something, right? I mean, they could do that. But other than that, they can't take it away from you. And you could have all that comfort from the scriptures and they wouldn't even know it, because you wouldn't even have to tell them. You could just sit there and you could remember those verses. I know my sheep and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. Or you just remember verses like that, just comforting verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and so on. And you could have that joy of the Holy Ghost and those people would never know it. They'd think, ha, I got the Bible from him. No, you didn't, because it's up here and it's in here. That's why it's important to memorize it. You want to hide it in your heart, not in your house. Good to hide it in your house too, but house can burn down, thieves can break through and steal, but they can't take it from your heart. And the other advantage to hiding the word in your heart is this is the way which will keep a believer from sinning against God. Because when the word is on the page and the page is back in your living room and you're out in the world, if it's only on the page and you have a temptation and you don't remember what it said on the page, you might not be able to resist that temptation. But when it's hidden in your heart and the temptation comes, then you can resist that temptation with the pertinent scripture. Let me just give you a couple of verses here. Psalm 119 and verse 11. I think a great one to have memorized, and I know I've told you this before, but that one back there in the book of Exodus where the Lord says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." You have some temptation to do some heinous sin, and you think, oh, nobody's ever going to find out. No, there's no way anybody would possibly know. God says, be sure your sin will find you out. You get that one memorized in your head, that'll keep you from a lot of sin, because if you fear God and you believe, you know, he actually will, somehow, some way, he will find out, that one will keep you from a lot of sin. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." So his reason was not so that he could show off about how many Bible verses he had memorized. That's not why he hid the word in his heart. He hid the word in his heart so that he might not sin against God. Let's look at Job 22 for one more example of that. Job 22:22-23. I believe this was Job's... No, this was Eliphaz, the Temanite. Sometimes these guys were dead wrong about things that they were saying. Sometimes they were right, but they were wrong about Job. But sometimes they were just right. And this is one place where Eliphaz is very wise. He said in verse 22, Job 22:22, "Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart." Basically, exactly what Solomon is telling us to do. Almost exactly the same. He's telling us the exact same thing as Solomon. "If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles." You see, putting away iniquity or putting away sin and receiving the word and hiding in your heart, you see how these things are tied together there in that verse. Okay, so that takes us through the first verse. That takes us on to Proverbs 1:2.